7 o'clock. You guys good? All right. Call to order, Highlight Rural Fire District. Reminder to the public that meetings are being recorded. Any public comment on any item not on the agenda? Seeing as none, Highlight Consent Agenda. Does anything need to be pulled for review? Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve consent agenda as presented.
Do I have a second?
JJ.
Oh, nice.
Did you?
Yes.
Sorry. Well.
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Discussion and decision, renewal of liability insurance.
I'll take it. The discussion and decision part probably didn't need to be on there because we have already renewed. It renews January 1. We had an increase of $5,000, which was about 12%. 4% of that is due to the increased value of billing in buildings and business personal property. So the overall rate increase is about 8%, and with our economy right now, that's about normal. So we were looking at a $5,000 increase, just to inform the board.
So our new trucks, you know, going to that policy is when we get new equipment and stuff, and
they will.
It gets folded in there, and
And then the rates go up.
It is what it is.
Yeah, for the most part, too. I mean, it's my understanding that we have limited, in terms of underwriters, we have options with regard to the insurance agent.
Yeah. Nationwide, there's really two options for fire department insurance, and one of them is VFIS, who we have used for a number of years now, and the other one I believe is called Continental. And you generally, VFIS is just, I mean, they insure most of the fire departments in the country that are not under a city. So they generally have the best rate out of the two options.
Awesome. And we found in terms of agents, really, I mean, these guys, that we can communicate with them, and we've had a different agent in the past, and so
I don't know, remember what it was 10 years ago, maybe not even that, 5-6 years ago, we shifted to a different agent. And Payne West, who's been our agent now for the last 5-6 years, has been good to work with. Very responsive.
Nice. Okay, so no direction needed. Okay, health insurance plans. I know you sent it around. We all said we don't need to have a presentation.
So you guys are happy with what you have now?
Yeah, we're gonna talk about it in a staff meeting actually tomorrow. But we've always kind of presented to Blue Shield, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Montana, you know, the agent in the past has given us a good plan that we can afford. It's not necessarily the Cadillac of plans, but it's good. We have different options, which if you guys have it, but there's a couple different options that we can utilize as employees. And again, for what we can get to, it's a decent plan.
Well, often with medical changing plans, doesn't keep your doctor, doesn't keep your prescription, doesn't keep, I mean, it's really hard to change.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're competitive with the other companies, I mean, I'm not paying a competitive rate. I'm on Medicare. And we pay more than you do. My wife and I pay more than you do.
Yeah.
Because I looked up the numbers.
Yeah. I mean, First West Insurance, again, very, very good to deal with in the past. They've always been willing to come out and talk with us. So overall, we're pretty happy with them.
Nice.
And I'll just say open season is March 1 through the 31st. So if the staff decides to change the specific plan that they may be on, that might be brought to the board, probably in either the March or April board meeting.
Cool. Well, I'm not going to study it nearly as thoroughly as somebody that's counting on it, so.
Yeah. It's really tough.
Okay. But it is renewed. Right?
Our health insurance?
Yeah. So it's not fiscal, or it's fiscally, no. It's not calendar?
It's April 1. April. Well, like for deductibles, it's calendar year.
Okay.
But the plans renew in April. April 1 is the renew date.
Okay.
So cool. Do we need, is the course of action here to wait until staff discussion to take action, or it, that's the...
Direction. Yeah, I don't know that we need a decision tonight. Okay. We got the renewal for what it's going to cost and mm-hmm. our options. But yeah, the staff will need to discuss it. Mm-hmm. And pending any changes, we'll bring those to you mm-hmm. next month.
Okay. So it'll be of these three options that are on the, mm-hmm. in the file.
Cool. Okay. Transferring funds into the capital reserve accounts.
Okay, on that one, the budget committee got together and we actually had a Zoom meeting with our accountant. And what we're going to do, we're trying to, we visited with them on some other issues. And then idea now is to have them come back with a proposal to let us know exactly how much we can transfer. And instead of just doing this a couple of times, get a better idea of where we stand. And we should have a pretty sizable amount to transfer into our capital accounts. But we're going to, the plan now is to hold off. And we've asked for a proposal from our accountants as to what it would cost to provide us with the information to get an estimate that allows, you know, gives an idea of how much we can transfer without being an impediment, a cash flow impediment, to meet our operating expense obligations and then operating expense reserve requirements. And so we should hear from them. We met, last week. And so hopefully we'll hear from them pretty soon on a proposal to generate a spreadsheet for us that gives us some guidance as to what our options are for transferring money into those capital accounts. And then the other aspect of that discussion too is considerations being given to transferring one of the capital funds, the repair, building repair and replacement fund, into an operating amount and transferring some of the, right now we've got about 340 some thousand in that account. And basically taking some of those monies and putting them into either capital improvement or capital apparatus, and then reserving, you know, whatever the board decides, but a smaller amount than the 340 some thousand, but put that as a rolling contingency fund, and an unrestricted fund instead of restricted. We just from an accounting standpoint that. The details, you know, it gets into accountant language, but basically there are some challenges there. You know, the situation, like I guess a good example was a pump, water pump goes out for water supply and well and that type of thing, or heating system goes out, you know, it becomes a repair. It's really not a capital improvement kind of thing.
I see.
And so it would be better to hold those funds in an unrestricted account versus a restricted capital reserve account.
Okay. So with that, and I'm just looking forward to the summer, are we pretty confident that we have a healthy enough operating budget to have a bad year? And could you use that money there in operations?
Well, the board always has some latitude to move some money around. And so we can, and in fact, we do have latitude out of restricted funds, you know, in the event of that type of occurrence, to move some funds around. And hopefully, I think what what I would suggest when we get closer to defining what that number is, my suggestion would be to not go all the way down to that cash flow level that just barely meets our $400,000 operating reserve requirement. My suggestion will be to that the board consider leaving a little bit more than that low amount, you know, as we look at that cash flow through time, leaving a little bit more in the unrestricted fund, so that, you know, we don't have to spend time pursuing that type of action. It would give us a little bit of latitude to address just exactly what you brought up.
Okay. So, to be continued.
To be continued, yes.
Are we taking delivery this year?
Not this fiscal year. Possibly this calendar year, but it'll be after July 1st. If we take delivery, it'll be in November, December.
I know, does the board or the budget committee have anything else to add to that discussion on the capital?
Yeah. No, it's, yeah, understanding the language at times is difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It takes an accountant to explain it in great detail.
Yeah, and whether that's by design so you keep accountants busy, you know, sometimes you wonder.
creating an out-of-district assignment policy for staff.
So do you have in your packet, this is really just a first draft, just drew some ideas down on a starting point of a policy that would kind of outline what you guys have asked for as far as taking out of district work details. So it kind of just identifies a purpose to give direction. The policy, I kind of broke it out into a couple different sections as far as how we're notified of out-of-district assignments, how we decide to accept those assignments, agreement resource orders, and then reimbursement packages after assignment.
What file is that in, Cheryl?
I'm sorry?
What file is that in?
It was in your packet.
I got like eight packets for this meeting.
It's number four, agenda item number four.
Okay.
It's page 54 or 58 in your board packet if you
got it.
Want to get to it. So like I said, this is my first shot at a first draft. If you guys, so basically it kind of just states, so we're talking, I put in there under purpose that we're not talking mutual aid requests in the county, that we have a mutual aid agreement with all the departments in the county. This would be outside of the county. How we're notified is really interagency dispatch, our state or local emergency management office, or Montana Mutual Aid, which would just be another fire department around the state. How we make the decisions, the chief officers of the district will weigh the impact of deploying resources, either personnel or equipment. The decision to deploy resources will be made based on available resources to fulfill the needs of the assignment, qualifications of personnel and backfill needs of the Highlight Fire District. The needs of the Highlight Fire District will be a priority in considering requests for assignments. As far as the resource ordering, basically just says when we're accepting and going to mobilize equipment or personnel, we will have a signed resource order in place. And that kind of protects the district in having the financial cost of going on that assignment. Obviously, the district, we have to front the cost for that assignment. It's all done by reimbursement. And then just a couple examples. We have our option three agreement with the DNRC for paid personnel and all of our equipment. EMAC agreements like I used for my last two assignments, and then the Montana Mutual Aid Blue Book. And then if we're talking Montana Mutual Aid, generally those are not reimbursable, so that we can have a signed resource order, but we'll follow the policies in the Montana Blue Book for responding to those events. And then the reimbursement package just states that it'll be submitted in a timely fashion, allocated by the sponsoring agency. The DNRC requires 30 days to submit reimbursement packages. State DES for EMACs is 45 days. So just saying that we're going to submit our reimbursement packages within those timelines. That's it. I can edit it as you guys would like.
I guess in my mind, this pretty well lays out the types of conditions that we could be faced with for requests for aid in different situations. But one of the things that I guess in terms of a kind of responsibility to our district constituents, and I know we have, you know, that there's a balancing act, I think. And the question I would have in a policy like this, is there a way that we can include some sort of review mechanism in the event that there are some questions about resource utilization within the department and the trade-offs that may occur, you know, in providing mutual aid and resource utilization trade-offs within the apartment or department. I'm wondering if there are ways that we might be able to consider incorporating those aspects into a document like this.
Sure. So are you stating like more of like the explain it more of like what the benefit to the to Highlight is?
Well, and the cost too, and I, you know, I understand when you have, you know, a skill set such as yours as an example, and there's a request for that skill set, you know, we have competing demands for that resource.
Mm-hmm.
We have a demand for that resource within the department, and then obviously a demand when there's a request out of district, and but finding balance so that, you know, our constituents, you know, obviously we're in some ways subsidizing that request, and mm-hmm. and I understand that, you know, being a good neighbor, I understand that part, but I think that has to also, sometimes those requests, it's kind of like having a farm and the neighbor has to borrow the tractor one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's fine, but neighbor comes over every day wanting to borrow the tractor, maybe it's time they, you know, buy their own tractor,
right?
You know, that sort of argument.
Yeah.
Limits, maybe?
Yeah, some discussion of review on limits and consideration being given to, you know, maintaining department momentum. And I don't know exactly how you codify that in the document to make that a workable arrangement.
Yeah.
But I guess, I, from my perspective, I would like to see it given consideration. You know, I think the document as it stands does a pretty good job of laying out, you know, what types of arrangements may occur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we start getting a lot of calls and then we start spreading ourselves out too thin,
mm-hmm.
I guess that's a concern from my perspective.
Yeah. Just trying to think how, because there's certainly like... Right, it's the need of the fire district, right, that the home agency comes first. Like, obviously we're not gonna, I'll just use Reed as an example, we're not gonna farm Reed out when we have an academy going on because Reed's hired to run the academy. And same, like I mentioned, like, I'm not gonna go on assignment during budgeting time or during while we have a hiring going on, anything like that. I'm just thinking how to spell it out in the words in the agreement. Mm-hmm.
And by no means am I asking that that be stated right now, but I think it's something that we should give consideration to before we finalize this document.
Sure.
You might try and take a run at looking at it from an emergent local, an emergent regional, an emergent national, right? Mm-hmm. Where the board could kind of get their arms around saying, you know, neighbors are in trouble, no, and it's happening right now, no mm-hmm. problem. The state's in trouble, and it's happening right now. Let's take one breath. The GAC is in trouble right now. That's three breaths.
Right.
You know, and maybe that's a better way to the geographic area of Montana, mm-hmm. Idaho, to look at that and say, and then there's the not emergent, shit's on fire and people yep. are screaming, but the administrative piece, and that's a dozen breaths, right? Mm-hmm. And we ought to have those conversations. And don't feel like this is a pick on. I know as well as anybody that that was a favor to do for people that have done us a lot of favors, blah, 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 at the state kind of thing.
Yeah.
And but there, that needs, we probably should have that conversation early and in policy to not damage the internal piece. It cost. Mm-hmm. It cost you, it cost him, it cost, you know, everybody. It was the right thing to do, maybe. I don't know. Don't care. Mm-hmm. But maybe better looking at it as the conditions as opposed to the procedure for how we get notified and stuff, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I'd be more interested in looking at, I would never say don't go to Big Timber when they're on fire, right?
Right, right.
I don't think any of us would. And so we want to make sure that's clean, but we also want to make sure that that wealth gets spread a little bit. Spread.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I yeah, with JJ, what he stated, well stated. Yeah. And I think, yeah, that's, yeah, the breaths, I think that's a good metaphor, is looking at the number of breaths that we count dependent upon the situation. Yeah, I think that.
And who's doing the breathing?
And who's doing the breathing, right? Yeah. And perhaps some feedback there a little bit, especially if not emergent. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. You know, spark fly, and you got 70 mile an hour wind. We're not going to take 3 days to put a meeting together or anything like that. But a non-emergent type of situation, we may want to step back, and that's that 12 breaths where, you know, we've got a couple of days to consider how our resources are utilized and what the implication may be down the road if we get more requests in a, you know, say a calendar year or a fiscal year, whatever we want to use,
sure.
And the implications that may have on resources available to the department.
Yeah, I mean, it will require calling a special board meeting because mm-hmm. generally they're looking for a 48-hour go or no go
yeah.
of when the request comes out.
Yeah,
I don't know that it has to be a board date. Think about ways to make that. How can we pull that off?
Sure.
Yeah.
And another set, a couple sets of eyes on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that I would agree. That yep, I would agree. JJ could help with that language.
I'm glad to help out. Brian, the only thing whenever he calls, he just breathes heavily.
Well, I'm just thinking about the language on the policy. We probably should have some.
The sheriff's department has something.
No.
No? Because, no. I mean, we'd like to. They have nothing with the kind of highlights priorities, you know.
Yeah, we have the work every day that highlights the priorities.
And no, but I mean, if you're going out of county.
That it's a command staff decision. You know, the elected official gets to make that final call.
Gets to, huh?
Yep. Yep, the sheriff makes the call if we're doing mutual aid. And it's been that way for years.
Do you, JJ, do you want to try to meet up one-on-one and we can work on this a little bit?
Anytime you want. I'm 6 minutes away.
You sure you don't want to check your appointment book?
This week's pretty rough. Yeah, this has not been... Prado and I are having long conversations. So.
Yeah.
So, sounds like a good start, and then we'll maybe add some more into it, and we'll continue that one.
Do you guys get called out of state?
Very rarely.
But it can happen?
It could. We have always declined to go out of state.
Fire department, I'm guessing, is going to be different for going out of state.
Different in what way?
It happens.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on how big you want to play the game, right? That, I mean, you can put yourself nationally available, and they'll call you to go anywhere that's requested. Now, I don't think, I'm more of a fan of helping out the state of Montana versus helping out California or, you know, bigger systems. But it's not to say, it's also opportunity, right? That there's going to be opportunities for experience and knowledge that don't occur in Montana. And if we want to get people out to gain that knowledge and that experience, it's about taking advantage of them. Like, I mean, we don't have the resources to put anything up nationally to do like 14 days on, 2 days off rotation. I mean, that would be at a busy fire year. That would be, right, those are like what federal agencies do where people are in and out of the door. They're just never around. And that's a much bigger commitment. And I personally don't think our department has the capability to fulfill that type of a request. Now, if it's something unique that we can bring a skill set back to highlight that would benefit us in the future, there's some consideration to take advantage of that. But generally, I mean, besides my two assignments, we haven't been out of state. Will possibly ever as an agency.
How does that usually work with the Forest Service?
As far as how they request each other?
Or request us or what? Do they ever request us or not?
Well, so locally, the Custer-Gallatin, we have an agreement. Mutual aid agreement with them, so they can request us. That's more of like mutual aid locally. Now the Helena National Forest, in order to be requested by the Helena National Forest, we would have to be loaded in the national qualification system, and it's called IROC is the ordering system. Where it kind of ties in what JJ's saying. So when they need engines, they'll go into IROC and they'll see what's available in the GAC or in the geographic coordinating area, Montana, Idaho, and they'll pull what they needed. What JJ's talking about is stuff gets depleted when it's really busy. All of a sudden, the GAC has nothing available. So then they'll go out nationally and start tapping other GACs. So there's the country's broken up into different regions, and they'll start tapping into those regions to fulfill the needs that that they need. And that's where you get units coming from New Mexico, Arizona, or units from Montana going to Colorado, you know, wherever. So it's part of a national requesting system. The thing that's unique that again, just kind of sidebar, Hawaii is not part of that system. So that reason why they went through EMAC is that's the only resource option they have.
Any other questions? Everybody good?
JJ and I will get together and work on it.
Perfect. Fire chief's report.
I got to switch documents here. Okay. So 68 calls in January. Our roster is sitting at 41 members. We're still really struggling with the volunteer command. We, as a staff, we've been trying to think really outside the box of how to really tap every resource, and we've pretty much exercised every option. Now, I'm not saying this is a dead-end road. We are going to work with a couple of folks, getting them trained up, but it's not going to fulfill us to the 7 people that we need to have everybody work what's requested of them from a volunteer standpoint. And also wanted to let the board know I've really exhausted just about every option of trying to work with one of our neighboring agencies to solve this problem. Tried with Fort Ellis. Both the city of Bozeman, just it doesn't fit. It's just different models. I tried with Gallatin Gateway, Central Valley. And there's either a lack of interest, there's a lack of understanding that basically all those options have hit brick walls and died. So we're keeping chipping away at it on how to solve it. I have some ideas at least a short-term fix of how we can address this. It's concerning. We have maybe one or two people coming up. And of the 5 out of 7 positions we have now, we know we're losing 2 of those for sure. So even if we promote the 2 people we could work on, it's just to replace the 2 people we're going to lose. It doesn't really get us to where we need to be. Chris and myself have worked on creating more of like a schedule of promotions. So if we can maintain retention of membership for, you know, the 2 to 4 years, well, 2 is too short, 4 years, and we can follow that schedule, I still think we can fix this. It's just going to take some time to actually get us to that. But I do have concerns. We're asking our volunteer, the 5, to do more than what their position descriptions ask. And I have concerns of burnout of that. Chris and I are covering extra, and that have concerns of burnout of that. We budgeted some money for overtime to the 3 paid captains to help fulfill the needs. So there's concerns I have in it. I do think we have a way to get out of it if everything aligns with that plan. We should be this spring working on a decent amount of crew leaders and a good experience in crew leading for a year. If we can keep them going into next year, this would be 25. We hopefully will produce some command officers out of that to help shore this up a little bit.
Jason wants to take command.
He does.
You know, that's the response we get out of a lot of people. So it's an ongoing issue we're dealing with. Residency wise, it is good to report we're up to 7 residents again at Soured Oak. We, out of the last recruit class, we brought in 4 to move into the station. So that's good to see that we're nearly full here at Soured Oak again. We were filled up at Cottonwood. We were back to 4. We're down to 3, but one person moved to the Ray House. So we're at 2 people at the Ray House. again, with the residency, we're making it more of a focus in recruitment. That we're laying it out there at the beginning that the options are there to live at the fire station, and kind of with the people that are identifying of interest of living at the fire station, giving them some preference on becoming members of the fire department. We're still doing our non-resident shifts here at Soured Oak during the week. Command and regular training still occurring as usual. We're getting ready for the Spring Academy. It's going to start here next month, so Templeton's been working hard recruiting for that. So then I put a blurb in here about my EMAC assignment. The last assignment I did to Hawaii, I was requested as part of a team from Montana. So it was including myself, 3 people from Gallatin County, 2 people from Missoula County, 1 person from Yellowstone County, and 1 person from Jefferson County. Sorry, I'm getting to the point where I've been talking too much. Our mission was to assist Maui County. we're obviously doing it really favors to them, but we've been able to tie a lot of similarities in operations between Montana and Hawaii. And what I mean by that is Hawaii obviously is isolated. They don't have a lot of resources. We're able to give them a lot of direction on how we do things in Montana without a lot of resources. They've obviously had a lot of help in the past 6 months from all over the country. Some of it good, some of it not so good. The folks there, either through emergency management, have really kind of grown a liking to the way things are done in Montana, and how we actually kind of show up to help people versus, you know, working for a federal agency or anything like that. so part of our mission was to just deploy some knowledge on really Maui County to how we operate as a county, as counties in Montana, and then how we operate as a state with the sharing of resources. We also were obviously continuing to help with the recovery of Lahaina. it was, our work was really well taken by them. they appreciated it. We tried to give them some terms on which they could send people to Montana during the fire season to gain some knowledge of how we do actually operate and how the state coordinates resources. And that was pretty well received. Again, for me personally, it was good to go work with a team locally from Montana in an environment that we just don't see a lot of here. Thankfully, we don't see a lot of here. So we were working for Maui County Emergency Management, and since the August wildfire, Maui County Emergency Management had 100% turnover, either through resignings or people quit, different reasons. So they're starting with a fresh team that doesn't really have any experience in, they have experience in emergency response. Some of them come from the fire department, but they are really starting from zero to rebuild their agency. So we were able to give them a lot of tips on how to go forward, how to work with what you have to work with. And that was a pretty big deal for them. And hopefully we created some relationships where we can bring their people up here to help us during fire season, and they can take that experience, that knowledge back to their home agencies to apply it in their areas. It was good. The one individual from Jefferson County, Doug Dodge, who's their fire warden and DES coordinator, I had actually worked with him in the past, even though they're our neighboring county. So it was really good to work with him. Got to build a pretty good relationship that we can now use forward operating here locally. obviously, the two people from Gallatin County were the county PIO, Whitney Remerton. and Patrick Lonergan, who's the chief of our DES here in the county. So it was good to work kind of directly with them on an assignment and really kind of bounce ideas off of what we're doing here locally. And even playing into their lessons learned from that event of what they saw that worked, that didn't work, and being able to directly talk here locally of, you know, the importance of things like relationships and interoperability, and make sure we're driving that point as either, you know, fire chiefs turnover or whatever it is, that we maintain those relationships, because without them, it goes very, very poorly. So I feel like it was a very beneficial assignment to me. They took a lot out of it. Like I said, hopefully we'll get some work out of them in return. Like I mentioned, they're not a part of the National Compact, so we can't actually order their people. So we kind of directed them through their State Department of Lands being a signatory on that agreement, and then we can get them into the requesting system for bringing them here. And we highly encourage them to come here and work with us, because we could probably give them a lot of knowledge of, you know, their big thing was we just don't have any resources, and our kind of response was like, either do we, we're not, you know, California or Texas, like we just figure out how to do it with what we got, and that works for us. And they thought the idea of the CAT team was really interesting, and they want to kind of come see how that operates, and if there's any possibility of implementing something of that for their state. So it was good. I got a lot brought, I feel like skill-wise, was able to even just get a better understanding of, you know, our emergency management. And when we're, you know, I think back to like the Bridger Foothills fire, and thankfully that wasn't our turn, but I was managing that, and how I was going through the process of ordering resources, and just kind of being able to reflect on that and just knowing how to do it better the next time. And a lot of that was kind of the discussions we were having as a team on this assignment. So that was really helpful. My official title was Operations Chief of Maui County Emergency Management while I was there. Outside of that, we hosted a mutual aid command training on January 29th. We had participants from Fort Ellis, Amsterdam, and Bridger Canyon. Training was very helpful. And just as a reminder to the board, we invite all of our mutual aid partners to that training. We assisted Gateway with the structure fire on February 1st. We responded to a chimney fire here in the district and the King Arthur Trailer Court. Crews did a really good job. They kept it contained to the chimney, which really minimized damage to the home. We're still working heavily with the EMS study, which we're expecting to see results come out here in March. So it was a county-sponsored study, so it's a study. Their findings are going to be released to the county, but obviously will be available to the board and to our agency. And again, the goal is to figure out a better way to deliver EMS services in the county. Obviously, right now it's very fragmented of how we're doing things. So more to come on that. Still on the board of directors with the State Chiefs Association. I still sit on the Wildland Committee for the State Chiefs Association. I'm still the vice president of the Fire Council, as well as the chair of the Communications Committee. Chris, Assistant Chief Dahlhauser, is still the chair of the Training Committee with the Fire Council. I'm still a deputy fire warden, deputy emergency management officer. We're learning more and more about our ambulance transporting. Chris and Cheryl have done incredible work coordinating between Pinion and Pintler of how our money's coming in and where that's all actually sitting. So we'll have some better information coming to you guys of actually kind of the funds that we've gotten in. We did have one person, we had to do a bodily fluid exposure report for in January that occurred on a call. We made the proper reports through Montana State Fund and treatment was provided, and we don't foresee any needs further with that event. And currently, because of Prado's fine work, all apparatus are in service.
Nice. Thank you. Any comments? Cool. All right, trustee activities. Update on trustee election.
I heard from the county today. You'll be happy to hear there were no more applicants. But March 4th is the last day for any write-ins. So.
It was stolen. The election was stolen.
Those signs printed up too.
So they'll let us know after March 4th if anyone chose to write in as a candidate. And if not, then the election will be canceled as far as highlights trustee positions.
Okay. Vote for JJ.
Not in this one. I'm going to steal the next one.
Any announcements?
Next board meeting?
The 19th.
I'm going to the Northern Rockies Board of Directors tomorrow. I'll see what we can do to unorder everything.
Everybody good with the 19th?
I believe so.
It's good for me.
I won't be here.
You're going to be gone?
Yeah, if you want me to call it in, you just catch me, okay?
Where are you going to be?
Marietta.
Oh. We can see if Pete's actually
ready for it,
too. Okay. All right, so let's try for the 19th. Okay.
Hopefully not Washington, D.C.
All right, so now we're going to close pursuant to 2-3-203.